Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., we're getting started here with the Money and Business Hour, where we always teach about money and how to make it and hold on to it. That is the key. You know, when I start thinking about, you know, my life and, you know, some of the things that I did, I always worked on myself. I always tried to raise my income. And so if you're out there right now, I was talking to someone today and just saying, you know, if you have any kind of money issues, and a lot of times we say we have money problems. Well, we really don't have money problems. What we have is situations. You know, problems are things that you can't solve with money. And so we have some situations. We have money situations that lead to what we believe are problems. And generally speaking, it's always one of two reasons. One is you're just not making enough of it. And if you're not making enough money in this world, it's because you're not bringing to the table enough value, or you're selling yourself short. And so you might need to change jobs or start a business. And, you know, that business that you're managing right now, you could probably start your own business and make five times what you're making. Or maybe you just need to change jobs because, you know, it's been proven that if you stay with the same company forever, you end up making less money than if you change jobs about every 5 years and start moving up, because a lot of times people don't appreciate you, companies don't appreciate you and stuff like that. And so second part of it is that we have to work on a plan to spend less than we make, create a gap, and then we have that gap that we can save and invest. And then one day we wake up and we're like, wow, we're starting to accumulate money, we're on a good system. We have our goals in place, our financial independence number, which is the amount of money that we need to have to one day quit. And then once that happens, we know we're set for life, and then we start enjoying money rather than worrying about money, and we get confident and stuff like that. And so if you've been tuning in, I think this will be show number 81, and you can go to the Roy Matlock Jr. website, and you can get start on a number one, and it's all educational. And that's what I believe, is that educating people is the best way for anyone to move forward, is to always get more education. Then you make good decisions, you don't get sucked into things that you probably wouldn't do and if you were educated. So we're going to continue down the educational part, and today's show is going to be talking about asset allocation. We're going to talk about the different places that you can put your money in order to get returns on your money, not only returns on your money, but return of your money, which is most important. And we're going to start doing some understanding of things like that. And so to begin with, when you're most people that are out there, they go down the path of they have a job, and if you have a job, have a 401k, something like that, or if you're a teacher, you might have a 403b, or if you work for a hospital, something like that. But the long and short of it is you got that. You might have an IRA that's a retirement account. You can do Roth IRAs, which grow tax-free, and you can do traditional IRAs, which you get to deduct and defer the taxes, but you get a tax deduction. But at the end of the day, we always end up doing something like that. And then we have to choose where we're going to put the money. And in most cases, we're going to put that money into some type of account. A mutual fund is usually what it is. But what we do is we turn our money over to a professional money manager. And those professional money managers then will put it across different types of asset classes. And they have different styles in which they go about doing things. And so first thing that we understand is, you say, well, what is, you know, a professional money manager? The best way to explain it is very simple. They're a big company usually, and they charge a fee take that money of yours along with many others. Unless you're a billionaire, you get your own money manager. But the reality is most people don't have that kind of money. And so for the small investor, if you've got $100 a month or you've got $100,000, whatever it is, you can go to one of these professional money managers. And they call them mutual funds, or they may be just a managed portfolio. At the end of the day, they're going to charge a fee, generally around 1%, maybe a little more than that, a little less than that, but about like that. And then they put it out into the market. And what is the market? Well, we got a stock market, and we have a bond market. Those are two places. And then we can go down to the most conservative. We go to the bank, which would be like a money market. And so then what we do is we start looking as we get older, we change our risk tolerance. We look at things in the way that we, if we're working and we got a long time, we may be more aggressive. Or if we get out to at or near retirement, we may be more conservative. So let's just go through and talk a little bit about the spectrum, because if you're sitting right now, one of the most important things that you can do is understand how to purchase every month that 6% that you're putting in, where they're matching, I'm hoping you're doing it, in your retirement plan through work. I see people that I meet with them all the time, and I help them to pick and choose their retirement plan at work. Matter of fact, I just got a call this morning. They wanted to meet with me. Can you help me? I don't think we're doing it right. And so if you don't understand your retirement fund, it can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime. And so we're going to talk today. Hopefully by the end of the day or the show, you're gonna say, okay, I get it. I should be doing this. So inside of your retirement plans, or if you're purchasing something on your own, we're going to go from the very, very most conservative side of it. That's called a money market account. It's a money market mutual fund, and they generally trade for a dollar a share. And the idea is that, you know, that they stay stable price. And right now they're getting about 0.2%, 0.1%, if even that. They're primarily there for someone to park money, mostly as an emergency fund, just some liquid cash. Yet, I find people that have their 401k or their retirement plans or their IRAs that they have it through the bank, and they have it in something like a savings account, and they're getting, you know, no return on it in a market that, you know, has been, you know, rocking. So anyway, but that's one place. The next thing we can do is go into bonds, and we're going to get into bonds. I'm going to outline to you how bonds work so you understand that. But a bond is a loan, and that's where something, just like a bank borrows money from people, and they call it a savings account. Bonds, there's government, municipal, corporate bonds, there's high-yield bonds. All what they do is they also, it's a loan. You loan it to a municipality or corporation or the government, whatever. And when you do that, you get some type of return on it. So when we come back, what we're going to do is get into the different bonds and what bonds are used for. And we're going to talk about asset allocation when it comes to your money as it relates to long-term savings. And I want to encourage you, if you want to find out a lot about this, go to roymatlockjr.com and download some of our free guides. We've got podcasts. I've got a whole series on money that you can watch and even show to your kids. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. And we are talking about asset allocation today. It's going to be a great show, helping you understand, you know, your retirement plans and where you should be putting them and stuff like that. And I don't know if you have anyone helping you with your money, but if you had an investment advisor like me, financial advisor like me, do you think you'd do a little better? You've been listening for a while. You might think that. Well, if you would like help, I have people that I've trained personally that we work with to help people. I've been doing this for 35 years. So visit roymatlockjr.com or call 615-843-2999 and set up a time for a free consultation. Maybe it's just a 15-minute phone call to start and get on the road to financial independence. So as we left the break, we were talking about the spectrum of investing, and we talked about money market accounts, and now we're going to talk about bonds. So what is a bond? So the first thing is you've heard of savings bonds or government bonds, and that's when the U.S. government, or in many cases, you can get foreign bonds where you would loan money at $1,000. You'd loan $1,000, and you get a rate of return on that money. And then at the end of the term of the bond, you would get your money back. And so what happens is bonds are, let's say you get a government bond, and they say, well, it's backed by the U.S. government, and we're going to give you 1.5%. All right, so that means that $1,000, you would get a $15 yearly interest, and then you would get the $1,000 back at the time if you bought a bond, okay, like that. If you buy a savings bond, you know, you buy them at a discount and you get the money back. But at the end of the day, that's how that works. A municipal bond is where you go and the city of Nashville says we want to expand a transit system or something like that. And we're gonna do bonds, and there'll be tax-free bonds, municipal bonds. So the interest on it is tax-free. It's backed up by the city. And as long as the city is solvent, you will be able to get a return of the money you put in there along with interest that's tax-free. We can go to corporate bonds. That's where Exxon and Procter & Gamble, they want to borrow money, and they're what's called a high-quality, you know, bond, corporate bond. And what they do is they borrow money, and then they take that money and they reinvest it into, you know, new buildings and equipment or whatever it may be. And then the bond is backed up by those companies. And you say, well, hey, Exxon's never going out of business, so I'll do that because I can get a better return than just taking it to the bank. You can go to what's called a high-yield bond. A high-yield bond is called a junk bond. And a lot of people, oh, junk bond, I don't know about that. Well, a junk bond is a bond that's issued by a company, okay, that's not a rated company. It's a lesser credit rating. And in many cases, though, junk bonds are traded, all right? And they trade because what happens is, you know, the company had some problems, and people say, man, I'm going to lose my $1,000, so I'll sell this thing right now at a discount. And then you've got you know, mutual fund companies that say, hey, let's research. I think their balance sheet's better than it's being looked at, and we can get a discount. So we're going to buy the bond at a discount because we think they're going to end up paying it off, and we're going to get a higher yield. And so high-yield bonds have a place in the portfolio if you're in bonds. We go to a balance fund. A balance fund would be something where you have part bonds and part stocks. That's what they call it, balanced. All right. And then we go into the stocks. Stocks is ownership. That means that you would own stock in a company. You could have a growth and income type stock. That would be something that pays quarterly dividends, generally a big company. Then we have a growth fund. That would be the Googles and stuff like that, and Starbucks. And they're out there, you know, expanding their business and stuff like that. And they're not paying dividends, or if they do, they're very minimal. Then we go outside the U.S. to international funds, and they would invest in stocks outside of the U.S. A global fund would invest in the U.S. and abroad. And then we have the final, we have the aggressive growth funds. Now, I know I talked about, gave a lot of information there, but this will allow you, when you're looking at your 401k or any of your retirement plans, you say, well, I need to have this allocated in a way that will allow me to feel good about what I'm doing, not be scared to death. You know, people right now, they're like, what's the stock market going to do? I'm like, I don't know what the stock market's going to do. I've never known what the stock market was going to do in the short. Here's what I do know. I do know that if you have your money properly allocated to where your risk is at a level that you're okay with, then you don't have to worry about anything. Because what we do is we go and meet with people, and we through that meeting, we find out a little bit about their risk tolerance. Now, how do I go about doing that? Well, there's a lot of things that go into it. Okay, first thing I do is I start looking at, you know, what have they done in the past? All right, if you show up and all of your money's been in the bank and you've been doing that for years when interest rates are at an all-time low, then I automatically know that you tend to be very concerned about risk. So I'm going to be in making recommendations to someone like that. I'm probably going to be a little bit more on the conservative side, but I'm going to get it above the bank. So I'll give you an example. I had a client that came in, and they were sitting on the sidelines. And we've had this market that has just been, you know, rocking, I mean, in the last 12 months. And it's very typical what happened on any time there's a market drop of 20% or more. Historically, the next year, the return is up over 50%. And it was no different than what's been happening right now. And so this person's on the sideline. And I was like, you know, you really don't need to be on the sideline. So we started looking at alternatives to the bank. So the basis of the investment to begin with was, what can we do to beat the bank? All right. And so in beating the bank, one of the recommendations, which I'm not a big believer in, and as a matter of fact, I told this person, I said, I wouldn't buy this myself, but then again, I wouldn't be having all my money sitting in the bank. So we looked at what was called a fixed indexed annuity. And you hear these things promoted all the time. Don't look at a fixed index annuity as some big growth model that's going to change the world. The idea behind a fixed indexed annuity is that it's got a guarantee of principal based on the insurance company, and then it has a percentage of the upside. So you never lose your money, and you can get a percentage or a spread of the upside, and it can be compared against different indexes and stuff like that. So if I'm meeting with somebody and they're in the bank and they've been in the bank forever, I'm going to try to educate them and say, look, there's a lot more to risk than just losing principal. We have to worry about right now. I mean, look at the gas pump. If you've been, if you had your money in a fixed account right now, we tell people it's called a guaranteed loss. So what happens is it's guaranteed, but you're losing purchasing power just because of inflation. So, and then if you take your taxes out of it, on top of that, if the money's just sitting there, there's no tax benefits to it, unless it's in a retirement account, you're not only having to pay taxes, you're getting beat up on the inflation, and then you're sitting there and you're like, hang on a second, this is not working. All right, I can't, but my money's safe, right? Well, it's only safe against market risk. So we have a lot of different risk involved. So what we're going to continue to do is talk about how to move yourself into a position to where risk is no longer the worry, because you got it allocated correctly. So, yeah, you know what? If I sold my house right now, okay, it's worth way more than it was because the real estate market's up. But the real estate market could go down. But here's the deal. You don't even know because you're not out there getting your house appraised every day or every week, whereas the markets are like that. So people start worrying about it. There's been times, and I tell people this, of what do you do when the real estate market's down? You just don't sell your house. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? Well, what happens is when the market goes down, which it will, you just want to make sure that you're allocated properly. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue just talking about allocation, diversification. We've got a couple more segments to continue on this. I hope you're enjoying the show. I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com and check out the podcast. It's right there. You can also get it on any of your podcasts or call 615-843-2999 if you'd like to do a quick phone call. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. Today's show is all about asset allocation. So, if you're out there right now and you've got a retirement plan, listen up. We're just going to walk through kind of a conversational type thing to try to help you to, do the right thing. And if you'd really like some help choosing your 401k options, we'll be happy to do that. And there's no cost to that. If you want to call Roy, go to roymatlockjr.com or call us at 615-843-2999. I know I was on a call just this week where we did a Zoom call, and we were able to share the screen, and she showed me her options to choose from. We had a conversation about, her goals and all that kind of stuff, and then we made a choice, and I gave her recommendations, and we do that free. If you want to call us or just go to the website, you can fill out a form. You'll be able to find us. But anyway, we're going to continue on. And so when we left to the break, we were talking about the different types of funds and stuff like that. So let's talk about some asset allocation and why asset allocation is so important. All right. So there's been studies done, and the long and short of it is you can go back and look at, the rate of return, okay, in a typical period, and you look at the stock market as a typical long-term return. The S&P is about 10%, bond market's about 4%. Now, of course, you know, we got low interest rates right now. And it's, but at the end of the day, everything is kind of like that. But here's what was interesting over the last 10 years. Okay, I'm sorry, the last 20 years. On a $100,000 investment, the average equity investor, okay, $100,000, they average 4.25%. So now why do we call it the average equity investor? Because when I tell you in just a minute what happens, you'll be surprised. The average of the S&P during that 20-year period was 6.06%, but the average investor received 4.25%. So let me walk you through, why did the average investor underperform so much? Well, the reason is the average investor, generally speaking, gets emotional. And when they get emotional, sometimes they sell at the wrong times. Then they have to come and then they buy at the wrong time. And the reason they do that, they just get they're not properly allocated. So if you've ever been in a situation where you got worried and you cashed in your money, I'm not going to do that stock market thing, then you were in something that was too aggressive. And that's why you did it. And so as a result of that, your asset allocation hurt you. Now, what's the difference on $100,000 over a 20-year period? If it's, what's the difference in 4.25% and 6%, 6.06%? That difference is $94,000. Think about that. That's the difference. Now, the bond market was no different. The difference in the bond market was even more. Okay, the average fixed income investor during that same period of time got 0.47%, but the aggregate of the bond market was 5.03%. How about that? Or the difference of $157,000. When you listen to those things, you're like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? People actually sell at the bottom of the market? Oh, yeah, they do it all the time. And that's why what I try to do is get people completely, totally educated. And if you get educated, we can have a conversation like, yeah, it's down. I agree. It's down. We know it's down. So what happens after it's down? What is it historically done? It's always gone back up, right? How about that? Isn't that simple? So what should we do, Mr. Investor? We should forget about it. We should leave it alone. We got the allocation done correctly. And over the long haul, we will do fine. You know, right now we've seen a record stock market. You know, if we'd have come back at the beginning of 2020, you know, we saw things rocking and then boom, the pandemic hit and people were panicking and many people, you know, got scared and then they missed the big run up and now they're scared again because guess what? They got to get back in. All right. And so if you're one of those, give my office a call. We can help you. You know, one of the things that we would do to begin with is get you back in the market, but do it in a different way. And we do it called dollar cost average. Since chances are we would ease you in over a period of time since you've already missed out on a lot of things. I'd hate to see you come right back in again and have another scenario like that. So there's three D's that I always tell people if you want to you know, really understand how to be successful with your money. The first one is diversification. Of course, that's why I never recommend individual stocks. You know, individual stocks, I know what goes into research, researching companies. I know what funds do to research, and I know how little information people have researching for their own. They don't have the time, the expertise, the ability to, you know, get great information prior to what's in the newspaper or in the, you know, on the internet, stuff like that. And so the first thing we want to do is get diversified. And generally speaking, a small investor doesn't have the ability to get diversified doing individual stocks. So why we go to a fund to begin with is to diversify. So we diversify. Typical mutual fund might have 200 to 300 companies that they own. So people have asked me, you know, that don't really understand. They say, well, what would happen if we, could I lose all my money? So, hey, if we lose all of our money and we've got 300, you know, big companies, boy, this whole world is over. And so, no, I don't ever see, does it go up and down? Yeah, it goes up and down. And so what happens is, how do these companies go out? They diversify, the first thing. So when you start investing your money, we pick and choose the types of diversification we want. We might say, well, let's put 30% of your money in an international fund. And the reason is that two-thirds of the stock, of the total stock values, are outside the U.S., and we do business with all of these non-U.S. companies. You know, I have a Mercedes, and you do business with, companies like, Johnson & Johnson and BP Oil, all those kind of things. So the point being is, why wouldn't you own, French's mustard? I mean, that's a pretty easy one, isn't it? And so what we do, why wouldn't we own it? So we say, well, let's put 30% outside of the U.S. Maybe we'll put 25% into a small company fund, all right, that invest in the Googles of tomorrow, more aggressive. All right, maybe we'll put some money in just a normal growth fund that owns, stocks, that are the ones you've heard of, the Facebooks of the world and all that. And now we've got, a couple hundred stocks outside the U.S. We got a couple hundred, small companies. We got a couple hundred big companies. And then we got a couple hundred that pay dividends. And before we know it, we have a portfolio of funds and that are different, and now we've got 800 companies, and they're diversified and they're professionally managed. And what does that mean? I'm going to get into that as we go into the last segment. But the fact of the matter is, now we're like, wow, so how would this all go down? Well, if the whole market is down and we're pulling back and stuff like that, yeah, we'll have some downside, but we're diversified. I was looking, one of the companies that has emerged is called Zoom. Everybody knows about Zoom, all right? And so Zoom, at the beginning of 2020, I think it was trading in the 50s, and because of all the pandemic and stuff like that, it got as high as $600 a share. So if companies, if mutual funds were researching that and they owned it, you owned a piece of that, then you would have been good. And so keep in mind that diversification is one of the three, okay? The second one is called dollar cost averaging, okay? And then the last is discipline. So diversification, dollar cost averaging, and discipline. And so we're going to get into our last segment. We're going to talk about time, not timing. We're going to talk about what happens when we allocate properly, and then I'm going to give you some allocation models that you might think about, because that's what we do. I've been doing this for 35 years. I'm 60 years old, started when I was 25, and I still love it. I still love doing what I'm doing. And so if you would like some help, you can visit RoyMatlockJr.com. I would just say sign up for our 12-part course on money. It's 45 minutes, each one of them. Get real educated, and then maybe check in with us and we can help you. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Final segment today, Roy Matlock Jr. And we are talking money. Today's show has been all about asset allocation. And, I wanted to just throw this out. As we came out of the break, I've been doing this for 35 years, and it's been a great ride for me. I mean, I love what I do. And, I hear people all the time that I say, how's the work? How's the job? And what do? They start throwing up on me and tell me how they hate their boss, they hate their pay, they hate everything that goes along with it. If you're one of those people, maybe you need a change. And maybe if you like listening into this type of show, it might be something that you could do. And so we're training people. If you'd like to find out how to get licensed in the financial areas and do what I do, I've trained many, many, many people over the years. Check out RoyMatlockJr.com and fill out the form, join the team, and we'll send you something to give you kind of an idea how that works. When we came out of the break, we talked about 3 D's. The 3 D's of investing. We kind of talked a little bit about diversification, and how you buy different funds and how you diversify yourself. The funds themselves diversify by having, several hundred stocks. Interesting thing about it is people, they call me and they say, what do you think about Bitcoin? And I think, most of the people that are calling me, I say, well, to begin with, do you have any idea what Bitcoin is? And they're like, No, not really. Well, that's the first rule of not investing. You never put money in things you don't understand. And so I don't have an opinion on Bitcoin other than the most of the people that are buying Bitcoin. They don't even know how it works. Okay. So as a result of it, they're probably going to get schooled. And most of your schooling comes from losing money, that kind of thing. But anyway, but the point being is that when people are purchasing individual stocks, you know, they have no idea. Yep, they put a lot of money into it. All right, I see, relatively speaking, they'll put a big percentage. Well, the funds research it and spend money on research and research. And if they hold more than 3 or 4% of any one company, that is like a lot. All right, a lot of the diversification is down to where they own 0.5%. And after doing all the research, they still are not going to bet on more than 3 or 4%. And these are big companies that they bet on, like maybe Facebook or Amazon or something like that. And they're saying, yeah, I think it's great. We'll put three cents out of every dollar in that one or something like that. And so diversification is accomplished by buying funds. The funds diversify. Then you diversify your allocation among funds. And then what you do is you work on developing that tolerance. You say, well, what is the beta, say, of this particular fund? The beta is a measure of risk and volatility. And you start looking and you say, well, you know, this thing's 20% more risky than the stock market itself, and I want to be conservative. Then you might be wanting to find something with a low beta, all right, that has less volatility than the market. And so what I do is I try to match people. That's what I do. I match you up. You know, a good return is not necessarily the highest return. A good return is the return that when we have volatility, you're cool. And you leave it alone and you don't worry about it. And then over a long period of time, you do well. All right. So let me give you some examples of why it's so important to be properly diversified and have the right risk tolerance. All right. So let's go back to 1929. Okay. And when observing the five worst market declines since 1929, returns in the first year after each market range from 36% to 137%, but averaged, now get this, in the five worst declines, the average return over the next year was 70%. Isn't that crazy? So a year ago or March 2020, whenever that was, after those market declines, you realize that historically the average return was over 70% during that time. So now what happened? Well, same thing happened pretty much, you know, from what happened last year. But let me give you an example of what happens with timing. So if you took $1,000, okay, and you took that and you did it over a 10-year period, all right, $1,000 in the S&P, you left it in the whole time, you had $2,897, all right? This is the 10-year period in 2019. If you miss the 10 best days in the market, in other words, you were just out, you're like, man, I'm scared, I'm gonna get out, and I only missed 10 days out of 10 years, it costs you 33% of your value. Isn't that crazy? If you missed 20 days, now 20 days out of 2,500 days, that's a 10-year trading for the most part, you're looking at it cost you 50% by being out. So what does that say? You're telling me that if I miss 20 days out of 2,500 days, that it's going to cost me 50% of my gains? Yep, that's the way it works. So why do I tell people always leave your money, do a buy and hold strategy? It's time, not timing. Now, what's the key element to all of that? The key element to time, not timing, goes right back to the 3 Ds: diversification, dollar cost averaging. That's where we put our money in. That's how 401k works. You put it in monthly. If you're out of the market right now and you wanted to get back in, I would probably dollar cost average you. And what that means is that if you had $100,000 and we wanted to put it in over a year, we would automatically invest $8,000 a month from, say, a fixed account, money market account or something like that, and buy every month. And then that way, if we have a declining market, we're actually buying at a discount. That's how we get you back in the market if you're out of the market. So what happens is, just to give you an idea, I've been doing dollar cost averaging for 30 years. You know, that's what I do. I have a monthly draft going into my investments automatically. It's just a bill. It's a bill that I pay myself. All right. And so what you do is you dollar cost average in, and then that way you don't put your money in right now and then the market drops and you're panicking again, that kind of deal. So we have diversification, we have dollar cost averaging, and then the third thing is discipline. The discipline to leave it alone and stop looking at it and have faith in the fact that you've got good allocation, find a good financial advisor. And, you know, I tell people my job as a financial advisor is to walk you off the cliff when you're getting ready to make bad decisions, emotional decisions, you know. And if you ask somebody, when should you sell? You say, well, you always sell high, right? And you buy low. But then when the market starts cranking, you can't find people hardly that are saying, hey, it's on sale. Why don't we buy it at a discount? That would be a great idea. And you're saying, oh, no, I don't want it. I would rather wait until the blue light special, for those of you that are old, at Kmart, the blue light special goes off, so I pay full price, right? Think about that. So if you see declining markets and you're dollar cost averaging, you're automatically taking advantage of that. And what I tell people always is let's be smart and let's be diversified. Let's get the proper asset allocation. Let's rebalance our portfolio every so often to make sure that we're not heavy in one thing that we used to not be heavy in. And then we start building, okay, a system that over the long period of time is going to reach our goals. So what we try to do is match up asset allocation in a way that will make you get the returns, okay, that you need, but at the same time not panic when we have something going the wrong way. So what are some asset allocation models that we do? There's five parts to your asset allocation. The first one is how long do you have before you need the money? And so if you've got a long horizon, guess what? You can be more aggressive. Understanding that along the way there's going to be volatility. It is your risk tolerance, how much you withstand. I mean, is it going to really bother you if we have a 20% market decline? You know, I'll never forget when I first got started in the business, 1987, and I'm like, all I did is I said, hey, historically, here's what happens. The money will come back. I believed what I was told, and I said, you just need to hold on to it. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Well, guys, to the 2000 and you know, tech crash, I've done that, been around 2008, I've been around the pandemic, I've been around everything you can imagine. And you know what I've learned? Just leave it alone. Make sure you have the right risk tolerance in place. The third part is diversification, and we talked about that. The fourth part is we want to make sure and get the right investment choices. So once we look at all this, now we got to pick the funds. Where are we going to put them? And then lastly, these portfolios are their managed type things that you go in and you say, hey, I think I've got a 70-30 risk tolerance, 70% stock, 30% bonds, that kind of thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in a portfolio that owns, you know, that type of allocation. And then by having that type of allocation, you know, they're going to keep it that way. Another option you might do is if you're at a, you know, if you have a 401k, you might look at some of the target date funds. And what it says is, you know, you just go in there and you say, well, I'm going to take my birth year and add 65 or 70 to it. And then that's going to kind of give me an idea. And they automatically manage it, that kind of thing. So we're making investment choices. And then we may have built-in rebalancing. Okay. And so what happens is if you don't have built-in rebalancing because you have a lot of, and maybe you go into, I was interesting enough, I helped someone with their 401k, and that 401k at a big company, they didn't have a target date choice. So what we had to do is go in there and pick, you know, the different types of funds, you know, from international to aggressive, you know, all this different type of thing. And but what we're going to have to do also is look at that over a period of time and say, you know what, we need to reallocate it. And the best part about being in a retirement fund is you can move it around and do all that kind of stuff, and you're not going to end up having to pay taxes when you do that kind of thing. And so I hope today's show has been helpful. You know, I just see people all the time, and I have clients come in, you know, people that are talking to me, and they got things going in the right direction, and life is good, you know. And then I see others that they're worried, All right. And the last thing you want to do is be worried. And so the best way to get past worry and get confident is to get educated. And I want to compliment you on tuning in. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, we've got 80 of the, I think this is show 80 or 81, something like that, that you can go and listen to. It goes all the way back, you know, for a number of years. So if you visit roymatlockjr.com and go to the podcast section, just sign up for it, and then it'll get delivered to you every week, all right? And we'll be in a position where that way, when you get in here, you'll be saying, oh, I understand, and if you meet and all that kind of thing. So visit roymatlockjr.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.